Going through his old photos, Kevin Kelly had thousands of pictures from nearly 50 years of traveling across Asia. He's put his favorites into a stunning and massive photo book collection. Kevin joins us in a bit to explain how those pictures can show us a lot of what's disappearing from the scene. And we promise to get you chuffed for a trip to Britain a little later in the hour. Let's start today's Travel with Rick Steves in Iceland. A creative writing professor from northern Texas found that hiking in Iceland's otherworldly landscapes took him into a hotbed of imagination fed by hundreds of years of elaborate mythology. It's what he found written in the country's much-celebrated sagas. Exploring the backcountry of Iceland along its 800-mile-long ring road is becoming a must-do experience for more and more adventure travelers. For Kurt Caswell, Iceland offered a mix of literary thrills and natural thrills. As a professor of creative writing literature at Texas Tech, Kurt combined humanities studies in the medieval texts that underlie Icelandic culture with an extended backpacking trip to experience the raw beauty of the island. Kurt writes about his ring road travels in Iceland in his memoir, and it's called Iceland Summer. Kurt, thanks for being with us on Travel with Rick Steves.
Thanks so much for having me.
You know, when you go to Iceland, it's a different kind of experience, and you kind of made that clear in your book, Iceland Summer, Travels Along the Ring Road, by writing about just sitting by the side of a lake in eastern Iceland for 3 hours, waiting to see a monster that you knew wasn't there.
Well, in fact, I wasn't convinced that it wasn't there. And so that, with that little bit of openness to, you know, the mystery of what an island experience might bring you, especially a place like Iceland, I thought, there was a chance that we would see that monster by sitting on that lake that day.
Okay, same reason I watch for the Loch Ness Monster when I'm in Scotland.
That's right.
But you wrote in all seriousness that sitting there for 3 hours doing nothing was kind of a travel tip. What would you accomplish other than going home saying I didn't see the monster?
Well, I think a moment like that, there's a bit of a mission, you know, to see the monster. But really what's happening is that it takes you to the lake edge and slows you down and allows you to spend some time, you know, just reflecting literally on the lake itself and the water. And what inevitably comes up if you have a companion with you is a conversation between you and your traveling partner. Or if it's you alone, you're having a conversation with yourself. So I think that's an essential part of any journey is stepping off, you know, the tourist trail and pausing in a place for some time.
Now, you're a literature professor and you have an interest in the medieval sagas of Iceland. When you immerse yourself in a place like that and just sit there silently, does it help you better appreciate how Vikings would have seen things 1,000 years ago? Or does it help you kind of be with them somehow? Because they're there in spirit in Iceland.
Yeah, I think it does. You know, the landscape out of which many of those stories arose is evoked in those quieter moments. You know, just to keep the record straight, I'm not a scholar, certainly, of medieval manuscripts. But as a writer, you know, it's a compelling metaphor and reservoir, really, of the country's cultural and... Yeah.
But, you know, I've been to a lot of countries and I've enjoyed a lot of, you know, early manuscripts that are near and dear to these cultures. But I've never been to a place where the medieval manuscripts were so beloved and, you know, just treasured and an integral part of who they are as the sagas in Iceland. Tell us just what are these sagas? How old are they and why do they matter?
Well, the sagas themselves, the written manuscripts are mostly... date from the Middle Ages, the 12th and 13th century. And they tell the stories often of the early Icelanders who settled the country around 900 or 1000, the year 1000. And they also are records of the Norse cosmos with Thor and Loki and Odin, the gods and those stories. So these stories were written down by later scholars, most of them Christian, who were recording the pagan world of the past. And it's a really interesting dynamic there where you have Christian scholars recording a pagan past.
Well, did they have an agenda to kind of discredit the pre-Christian gods?
I think it was actually the opposite. It was more of an agenda to preserve what might be lost. Potentially, there's just a little bit of paganism or remnants of the old world left in that Christian culture.
Yeah.
And those people are putting down their own heritage honoring it that way.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Kurt Caswell. And Kurt's a professor of writing and literature at Texas Tech University. He writes about his adventures in Iceland in his book, Iceland Summer, Travels Along the Ring Road. His website is kurtcaswell.com. That's KURTCASWELL. So you're a professor from Texas Tech, so you had some credentials because you got to actually see the sagas in the National Archives, which a typical tourist could not, right?
I did. It took me quite a bit of time to find somebody who would open a door for me there because I don't have and didn't have a formal project in the archive. Mm-hmm. But they were accommodating and allowed me to gaze on some of those actual manuscripts.
And was that worth the trouble? What was that like for you?
Oh, yeah, that was definitely worth the trouble. You know, I wasn't allowed really to sit down with them on my own and leaf through these books, but they're very fragile and beloved, as you say, of the nation, and they really are a world treasure. But, you know, you feel a little bit like you're crossing this almost impenetrable boundary of time, and reaching back all the way to the Middle Ages. And, you know, you can feel these stories come alive out of those pages.
There's something epic about people who have lived there. Until the 20th century, there was very little growth in population, very little progress, really. I mean, it's a remarkable, tough community, isolated and proud, and that they've got these sagas left and these sagas tell their story. It's just an inspirational thing. You wrote in your book that you learned about real Icelanders and their adventures. You wrote they weren't superhuman, but they were super interesting. How so?
Well, I think people who can carve a living out of this kind of barren rock that they landed upon, and they brought so much of what they needed with them to establish, you know, those first settlements in Iceland. They're really scrappy and tenacious, but also I think that sense of community that held them together is really how they made a go of it in Iceland.
It's interesting you said community, because I was just there a month ago making a new TV show, and everywhere you go, you talk to people, Icelanders, that think of themselves as a community, their whole society. There's just about 500,000 people on the island, and half of those people are in Greater Reykjavik, I understand, and it is community. The children, when they're swinging, the swings are in a circle, so they swing together. They come together and they go back. It's a beautiful thing. People hang out in the thermal baths, and it's just the great equalizer. You could have the big man of the tribe and the lowliest person in the tribe sitting next to each other, equal, in the hot tub. They've got a family tree that people who are dating and getting serious actually check to see how closely related they are before they consider having kids.
Which is linked to an app on your phone, as I've heard told, you know, that you can check that on your phone.
It is community. And when I think of community, Kurt, I think of a place called Thingvellir. Do you know?
Yes. Spot?
Apparently that's where all the warlords of the island gathered in an annual gathering of the Icelandic tribes. Paint a picture of that.
Right. There's actually a fault line there where the two plates come together, and it's a highly volatile, you know, geologic region. But there's a stone there, a big boulder they call the Law Rock, which from that, you know, even 1,000 years ago, the speaker would speak out the rules or the laws of the nation, and there was a massive gathering, you know, of people there to join in on that. And one of the things I think that really binds people together in Iceland is the Icelandic language. It is distinct or unique to them alone. Of course, it's a version of
Norwegian,
exactly. But it's distinctly Icelandic. And I think the number, it may be plus or minus one or two, but 95-97% of Iceland is literate. So it's a highly well-read country. People read books, writers are revered and well taken care of, and books sell, you know, whereas in the United States, it seems that more and more people are, say, moving away from books and reading. Mm-hmm. In Iceland, they seem to have hung on to that. And so it really is a nation of the book.
There you go. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We've been talking with Kurt Caswell and his experience in Iceland and bringing it home to Lubbock, Texas. Kurt, you closed your book, Iceland Summer, with a quote. You just chose out of the thousands of quotes this quote: "All journeys have secret destinations of which the traveler is unaware." Why is that in your book on Iceland?
So as an epigraph to the book, I think that invites the reader into the understanding that when you set out on a journey, you often have a plan and a direction that you think you want to go, but the journey has a kind of way of taking care of itself or taking care of you and sending you off in a new direction. So where I imagined, you know, physically in the landscape that I would walk the ring road and ended up deciding that it was better to take a bus on the ring road and walk the back country, that was a change I wasn't anticipating before I left. Another aspect of the journey is I wasn't really anticipating it to be so much about friendship. The backdrop for the story that I've written is Iceland, but it's also a great deal about friendship and how sharing a journey like that with someone really is the way to bring that journey alive.
Kurt, thanks so much, and best wishes with your teaching and your writing.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Kurt Caswell tells us about the humanities grant that got him to Iceland and compares the larger-than-life oral tradition of the sagas with the contentment he found among the Icelandic people. It's in an extra to today's interview, which you can hear at ricksteves.com/radio. British guides offer their advice for road tripping to stone circles and gardens in the English countryside. And an expat helps us understand some of the British slang that often doesn't translate so well across the Atlantic. But first, futurist Kevin Kelly looks back on what he's photographed in Asia over his lifetime and how it now reveals a rapidly changing world. Thanks for coming along for the journey with us on Travel with Rick Steves.